first reading is from 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 18. Christ, the wisdom and power of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Holy Gospel from John 2, beginning at verse 13. Praise and glory to God. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? His disciples remembered that it is written, zeal for your house will consume me. Then the Jews demanded of him, what miraculous sign can you show to us to prove your authority to do all this? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. The Jews replied, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days. But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Te rongopai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Good to see you all again on this day that we are now about, 4 hours down into lockdown level one, which is pretty good, eh? Got through another lockdown. Pretty easy on us, though, let's be honest, eh? Level two doesn't make too much difference. I'm looking forward to my COVID vaccination, just so you all know. And in fact, I like vaccinations so much. This is a true story. I was thinking about this morning. I was going to have my talk. A few years ago, I was coming back through Singapore Airport. And I was at the airport, and the Singapore government were giving out vaccinations on something to all Singapore citizens. And I went up, it's a bit dumb, really, so I'm not recommending this. I went up and spoke to the people and said, oh, you know, who's this for? And they said, Singapore citizens. I said, well, I'm not Singapore, could I get one? And they had a chat, said, yes, you can have one. and gave me a vaccination. I still don't know what it was for. True story. Sue wasn't that happy when I got home and told her. But I'm sure that I'm protected against something. I don't know. So the COVID vaccination's nothing, right? Anyway, it was something. And I seem to have survived that. We're also, of course, up to the third Sunday in Lent. And we're looking at this. I'm going to be looking at the gospel reading from John. But there's a couple of things about this reading that are important. In the Gospel of John, the story of Jesus here going into the temple, turning over the tables and annoying all the Pharisees is at the beginning of John. If you look at the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, it's right at the end of his ministry. So John puts it right at the one of the first things he does pretty much after turning the water into wine. And the other three Gospels put it right at the end just before he goes to Calvary. And of course, people write lots and lots on this. Why is this discrepancy here? A lot of people say because he did it twice. Personally, I don't care. I think there are bigger things in life to worry about. But the fact is it doesn't change the message of the story that we're reading about. So a few facts about this to understand. I'm sure many of you know this, but it is important we understand the context of this. Firstly, it was just before Passover. Passover was a time where all good Jews wanted to get to Jerusalem at least once for this celebration. Passover, of course, was a celebration of the time back in Exodus where all the basic people who had the blood over their lintels of their home were saved, and all the Egyptians' firstborn were killed. Pretty horrible story, really, in some ways. Great news for the Jews to celebrate, not a great story for everyone else. There's a lot of mystery stuff in the Bible that I think we have to grapple with, and sometimes we can't fully answer. But the fact is, that's what they were celebrating. God's redemption and rescuing of themselves. People who have written on this say, well, we're not 100% sure, there would have been hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem this time. So the temple would have been completely packed, because the goal of people going to Jerusalem was to go into the temple to offer a sacrifice to God. So hundreds of thousands of people at this time in Jerusalem. And of course, what had happened is the temple would not accept Roman coins or any other foreign coins, because they were seen as defiled in the temple, so the people had to take their coins to the money changers. That's why the money changers are in there, and they could get special kind of temple coins and a few other bits and pieces, but largely temple coins, and those coins were seen as somehow holy and pure, and with those coins, they could either make an offering, but more importantly, they could go and buy an animal to sacrifice. So the other thing about this is it's not a particularly pleasant place by our standards. You know, the SPCA would have gone into having all sorts of heart palpitations here with all the animals being butchered and killed and sacrificed. It was a pretty kind of hectic place. And of course, a lot of people had no money to buy the sacrifice because there was a lot of poverty. And so they would actually go into the temple to moneylenders. And the moneylenders, this is all on behalf of the temple, by the way, because the temple were getting kind of royalties and making sure all this could happen, is they would go to a moneylender who would lend them a little bit of money so they could buy an animal, so they could sacrifice, live up to the temple obligations, which they thought is where God lived, and they thought they would keep God happy, but of course that would put them in debt. This is a crazy kind of situation, isn't it, to us? It's pretty obvious. But this has happened over a long, long time in Israel. And so what was actually happening, it was now seen as normal. And Jesus sees this, of course, in both the synoptic gospels that put it at the end of the time and John, which puts it at the beginning of the time, pretty much give the same type of story, that Jesus went in there and he turned over the tables of the money lenders. And it's said he made a cord of, like a whip of cords, made a bit of a scene, tipped over the money lenders' tables, made a scene, told them, particularly those selling doves, that they were wrong. That's a basic story. This is wrong. And the reason is the doves were the cheapest possible and the smallest possible sacrifice you could make. So the poor who had nothing, who were often destitute, hungry, possibly homeless, all those sorts of things, would have to borrow money that they would pay back with interest so that they could buy a dove, so they could do it in the sacrifice in the temple and keep God happy. You can see how crazy this is, eh? It doesn't take a lot of biblical knowledge to know this is not really what God was after. And the temple had actually become the dominant financial institution of the time. This is where most of the economics were made. And of course, those, the Pharisees and others who were kind of involved with the temple, quite liked this deal because it kept the whole place going. I think there's a subtle message in here that when our churches get too expensive, they're no longer churches. But that's another story. And so they needed more and more of this to happen to keep the machine going. The machine that was supposedly where God lived. So they benefited. And of course, at the end of the story, one of the things Jesus says, you know, I can destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. They didn't get the message. He was, of course, talking about his own death and resurrection, which we're coming to at Easter. And the message he was giving there that made sense after his ascension and so on was the temple isn't where God lives. I am God. And more than that, not am I God, I can live in you and amongst you. What a great story, eh? That's the message. Forget the doves, forget the money, forget the sacrifices. I'm going to be the one who lives amongst you. Now, when you put this also in the context of Passover, Passover for the Jewish people was the ultimate liberation of God. And to celebrate Passover, many of them got into more bondage. All in the name of God and being a good Jew. So there's a few things we get out of this story when we get the context. And really it's pretty obvious, isn't it? The rules and regulations we make to try and help us serve God better always run the risk of doing exactly the opposite. Distorting our view of God, obligating us to do things that God really isn't interested in, and ultimately even oppressing and persecuting others. And it's nearly always to do with money. The fact is, Jesus in the Bible talks a lot about money. I like my mummy, by the way, but it's not what I'm talking about today. Talks a lot about money because it's one of those things that can be, it's never neutral. If you think money's neutral, you don't understand the Bible. It's used for good or it's used for harm. End of story. And too many times in the religious world, we see it used for harm. Instead of it being a celebration of God's liberation, freedom and justice, it'll become a time of persecution, more poverty, more debt, and the wealthy getting wealthier. So what does it mean? Oh, one other thing that's very interesting in this, because it tells the story of Jesus making a whip and turning over the tables, one of the big tensions right through church history you probably know about is therefore is Jesus condoning violence in some situations. Augustus of Hippo, if you think you've got a funny name, think of him and you'll feel a lot better about yourself. Augustus of Hippo, who was an early church kind of leader, said this for a whole bunch of reasons, said this was one of the things that allowed Christians to be violent in certain situations. Now, we're not going into that day because that's a whole new area. But let me tell you one thing. If you do believe in any way that this justifies the use of force and you're using this passage, it can only ever be on behalf of the most poor and the most oppressed. The minute it's used to justify our lifestyle, who are not those of us who are not poor and oppressed, guess who we're actually like? Those who are upset at Jesus for tipping over the tables. But moving on from there, before I get stoned or something by some people. The key message here is this. I think Jesus came in to what a lot of people, even those who were oppressed or those who were benefiting, thought was the way it was meant to be. Those who were oppressed, who were getting into debt, thought this is exactly what God wanted. Those who were lending money thought this is what God wanted. And Jesus turned it upside down and said, God is not here as you think he is. In fact, this is wrong. I think James 1:27, which is one of the key kind of verses and scriptures that I kind of try and use, not very well often, but try and use as a bit of a personal mantra, says this, for this is pure and undefiled religion, to care for widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself undefiled by the world. The message is this, Jesus is against oppression, is against poverty, is against injustice, and if we are intentionally or unintentionally been involved with oppression, with encouraging or enabling or allowing poverty, on that issue we are not on the sides of Jesus. And it causes those of us in countries like New Zealand, where largely we're doing pretty well even in the midst of this pandemic, we're doing pretty well, aren't we? It causes us to reflect and say, Jesus, if you were turning over a few tables right now, would my table be turned over? Or would I begin to see you as an object of my liberation and freedom? And I think as we come to Easter, in the time where we celebrate Christ's death and resurrection, and as he said, really, he is the new temple. And in him is found freedom, peace, justice, and joy. Let's remember, he's there on behalf of the poor. May God bless his reading to us today.